You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions.
18 plus. Hi, you're listening to the Wig Hackers podcast, where you get the real feeling of what goes on working on the hair side of the entertainment industry. You never know where my rants will go, so stay...
Computer.
All right. Hey guys, welcome back to this episode of Wig Hackers. We're going a little different route. We actually have a special guest today. I'm quite stoked. We have Andrew Christie, very excited. He's a stylist, he's an editor, he's a producer, he's very creative. He makes stuff happen. I would use different words, but this is a PG channel because it's on Apple. But he makes, like when I tell you the things he makes happen is quite extreme. So I'm going to let him talk a little bit about himself, and then I'm going to jump in with a couple tricky questions. Andrew, take it away. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me, Daniel. I really appreciate it. I'd do anything for you. You're one of the best in the business, and I'm glad to be on your show here. I think you put it right in the fact that I make stuff happen. I didn't know that we couldn't curse on this, so I guess I'll try and curb myself a little bit. Currently, I work for Wingman Magazine, and that's how I've worked with Daniel. Daniel has been doing the hair and the grooming and the makeup on a lot of my sets with the actors. So that's how I'm attached to Daniel Coy.
We had fun.
We had fun.
How did you find me?
I believe I met you at the Imperial Gala.
Right.
I think. Yeah. So we met at the, for those who don't know, the Imperial Court is a HIV/AIDS research organization, and we were both at the gala, and I think we just became fast friends.
I have photos. I think I'm going to post some photos of us together in the caption. So just look for those. We were cute that night. It was a cute night.
Cute night. Mm-hmm. Cute for sure.
Mm-hmm. Good right, and then you got me to donate. He got me to make like a little touch-up booth backstage with the Decoy product. All yeah. Coming back to me now.
It was a couple of years ago, like probably like 10 years ago.
Oh, we don't do numbers. We don't do numbers.
You don't do numbers here? Okay, sorry.
My don't bad. Do numbers. Yeah, no. We were just talking about before, you know, ages and things. So,
right.
So what is the best part about styling a photo shoot for you? Like, what is the part that gets you like going?
So for me, I'm not really in love with styling as much as I guess I should be for a stylist. I think that the best part is that I like doing things that kind of bring in money at this point. I think that a lot of people are very much more into the art of things. And I think the thrill for me when I do styling is that, you know, I know what to work with advertisers and I know to bring in money. I think that being on set is a thrill in general. I think that we all get bit by that bug and that's why we keep coming back to it. But, you know, for me, I think the business part is just as thrilling, which a lot of people don't seem to like. And I get to work with people like you who are really cool. So that's always a great joy.
What's your worst part about it?
Everything. What's my worst part? So I think that styling is a really hard job. I think that some of the people who aren't like, I mean, at this point in my career, I'm lucky because I get to work with people who I like rather than people who I don't. But I mean, every now and then that happens. I think it's a schlep, you know, it's like there's like you got to carry a lot of stuff. It's a fast paced job, which actually that part I don't hate. But you know, there's definitely a lot of downsides. I'd say the heavy lifting for people who maybe don't like heavy lifting and don't think that that's part of the job. It's definitely a schlep.
Because I mean, you do wear a lot of hats, you know. Well, you always wear a hat, but
I do wear a lot of hats.
You wear a lot of hats.
I mean, maybe I should just tell people. Yeah, like in the beginning, I was more of like, I guess, a direct stylist, whereas now I'm really more of a producer. And around 2008, 2009, I had been in the business a couple of years. I did very well in 2005, 2006, and I was in my early 20s. And then the economy crashed, and it was just very different. And even still, it's like, I remember sitting on a bed of a very top stylist. I shouldn't say his name, but very, very top. And I was like, oh my God, this is the end game with this career. I want no part of it. So I went back to school and studied industrial psychology. And I think this whole business, and you show that just with this show, it's how you parlay it. You know, everything is how you parlay it. It's great to be creative on a set and do great hair and makeup and great styling, but if you are not part, like, this is a hard business to really have a career with unless you're doing TV shows and podcasts and, you know, and having your own back deals in the advertising world.
True. How would you pick talent for the shoot? What's your process for that? Because I know you have a very...
yeah, so, I mean, for the magazine that I work for, Wingman, we do have a very... strong strategy, and I think each time it kind of comes down to what kind of person are we missing. We like to have the KJ Apas of the world and the Robert De Niro's of the world, and sort of, you know, that way there's something for everybody. And I think that's sort of how I pick the talent, is making sure we know who our advertisers are, we know who the audience is. Like, I mean, for example, if you were to have a guest on this show, you'd want to pick somebody that you think brings in the products that, I guess, you're at. Do you have a lot of advertisers on the show?
No. Mm-mm. It's, well, me, myself, and I.
Happen. Well, that's what should happen. It's like, we need to start plugging products on this show. That's,
yeah, no, story. Totally. I'm totally game, you know, with the way the industry is going, you know, just trying.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, really, you know, you are one of the best in the business. It's not even me blowing smoke. You're so good. And I think that any product would be lucky to have you name drop them on your show. You know, do a tutorial, whatever it is, on the YouTube channel.
We're trying. You know, that's what we do, right?
That's what we do.
So you're kind of known for, I don't want to say bringing back styles, bringing forward styles, creating styles. I don't know what we want to call it, but I know you always have a I told you so moment. And so what's the next I told you so? I want to know.
Okay, so it's so funny because I was thinking about this morning. I think one thing that we're really going to see is we're going to see in fashion tiered skirts. They were big in the 80s. Then they came back again around 2003, 2004 with Mean Girls. And I think we're going to see them again now. And I think for hair, one thing that we're really going to see, and I've been saying this for a few years now, and it's starting to happen, but I think it's really going to have a moment, is crimped hair. I think we're going to see a lot of crimped hair. I don't know if I'm hearing you.
Yep, I hear you.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so I think we're going to see crimped hair, and I think we're going to see, and we've already seen it, I think, on like Selena Gomez, the flipped out 60s end that was kind of, it kind of did a comeback with the Spice Girls in 1986, 1987, right. And I believe we'll see that again. Mm-hmm. So Daryl Hannah's splash mermaid hair and flipped out, you know, Spice Girls hair.
Okay, I see this. Okay.
What about you? What do you think is coming?
Oh, I mean...
What are you seeing?
I do ponytails for a living. Like, you know, everyone who listens knows, like, I do a ponytail. I do a cop bun, you know, like that's all I do. And I just keep people pretty, you know? So I'm, as far as trendsetter, that's not my forte. I just,
you go in and they give you the mood board, which is what I do with you.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, I can make it happen because I'm the genius. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's, I mean, working close with stylists, working, like, it's a team, you know, it takes a village, as you know, and working together. Absolutely. And having the right group of people around always helps the whole situation, you know, so you
absolutely
can, like, play off and, like, change. And, you know, for me, it's always, you know, I want to make sure the actor's talent feels good. And, you know,
you're very good at that. You have a great I don't know, chair side manner, let's call it. Really good at that. Just being catering to the actors, just knowing how to, I'd say, play psychologist, which is 80 to 90% of the job.
So. Very much so. And yes, that's kind of why I started this podcast, so I could just talk and vent.
So, yeah, I hear you.
Here we are. Okay.
Your hair is looking great in quarantine, I have to say. I mean, I think that this is just an audio that people are going to be hearing, but they should know how great your hair looks because it's on point. I'm wearing a hat because I don't have Daniel in my quarantine chamber. But
no one is in my chamber. It's me, myself, and I.
Me neither. I mean, I'm here alone. But, I mean, you have this beautiful wave of blonde hair that's just perfect.
I need a real haircut. Don't look at the back. That's why I'm wearing headphones. So
it's looking good.
Now, I mean, this is a little off topic, but I feel you're one to... what is a musical group that you love that has not been received well in the world that you think should?
Musical group that I love that has not been received. I mean, I would say the number, I don't know if it's a group, but I think Justin Bieber's the best. I think that Justin Bieber is someone who suffered really, I mean, he was really the first explosion of social media people, someone being that big on social media and the internet. And I think he's just the best. I think that he's really talented. I think he's the real deal as far as talent. You know, I don't think he's been received as well as he should. I think that he had a whole bunch of older people calling him a lesbian from 13 years old. So, I mean, I'd say him.
Okay.
Although his new song with Ariana Grande, not great. And I think both of them are phenomenal. So,
Who
would you say?
I could someplace totally, I don't say it was shocker, but that's definitely a different, I didn't expect that one. I thought you were going to go like 80s or something, some obscure, like I wouldn't even like, okay, but that makes sense. I get it. I mean,
Bieber all the way.
Quite well known.
Huh. The most famous person. He's the Frank Sinatra of our generation. You know? Like, I think if you say that, people roll their eyes and they groan, but the truth, I mean, who's more famous than Justin Bieber that isn't a politician? You know, Beyonce maybe.
Right.
True. Rihanna.
True.
But I mean, all in the same stratosphere, I'd say.
Hmm.
What about you? Who would be your person who's underrated or just wrongly received?
I just listen to music to keep my mind not from thinking about myself. Right. So, you know, it really, I mean, A, you know, I wouldn't know them if they bit me in the head. You know, I wouldn't know who they are. So, I really... Who's interviewing who here? Jiminy Cricket.
I don't know. I can't, like, I'm sorry. That's just my...
No.
I'm an inquisitive person, and I want to know about the people that I'm talking to. I would be a horrible interview, I guess. I don't know.
No, you're great. No, this is great. I was just not... I don't know. I really don't. And I'm a theater kid, too. So, you have to remember that one. Like that alone, you know, it's different. What are your feelings of TikTok?
I think TikTok is awful. I really hate TikTok. I think that, first of all, I think that everything should be on one app. I think that we should just have Instagram and everything else should go at this point. But I think that TikTok is unnecessary. I don't see the fascination that the rest of the world sees with lip syncing. So.
Okay.
I mean, it's very big right now with the drag queens and the, you know, and I'm just, I don't get it. Like, I don't think that lip syncing is the skill that everyone seems to think it is. So I don't think I'm the audience for TikTok.
All right. So, I mean, it is Wig Hackers. And what movie have you seen that you're like, oh my gosh, that is a wig?
Oh, the wig. Okay. So that's a wig. So like that. That's a wig in a bad way, or that's a wig in a good way? Are we talking?
I mean, or
oh my
both.
God, that's a wig, and it was the worst wig ever. Okay.
No, I mean,
so some bad wigs. Let's see.
I try to be positive on my show because hopefully I know the people.
Right.
But, you know, mm-hmm. I don't, I mean, both. I mean, I found wigs that are just like, oh, it was a rough day that day, you know? But,
yeah. So sometimes it just doesn't work, you know? Yeah. Like I would say, and sometimes they know it doesn't work. Like on True Blood in the first season, there was Alexander Skarsgård was wearing a wig and it just didn't work. Like he had this long hair and then they finally, you know, they made his character have tinfoil in his head so that that way it could like burn his scalp, and then he had to get his hair cut because it's like, you know, a vampire, you're not supposed to get your hair cut. It just grows right back. And with him, they just needed to do something so that he wasn't wearing this foolish wig anymore. So that's an example of a bad wig that I think everybody knew was bad.
Right. And I just want to point out how then, see how it just also crosses over into storyline and bringing it in. You know, it's really big on shows. Like, someone's going undercover. They were a blonde, and now, oop, what are they going to do? They're going to dye their hair brown. You know, like, it's a typical thing in I think, TV to really show the audience, you know, huge major changes. Or, like, you know, or from season to season, they have to write it into the script where it could have been the actress or actor that, like, shaved their head.
Yeah. You
know, but they need to incorporate...
Like, in the Fifth Element... Lilu, what's her name? Milojevic. She was having really bad hair damage, so they needed to get a wig by the end of the movie. You know, so that happens too.
This one.
Yeah, and I think I think when you ask what's a good wig, for me, it's always things like what you. I mean, I don't know if I should say his name, but when you take an actor who might have bad hair, and, you know, you fill it in so that way they look like they've got a good hairline. Mm. That, to me, as someone who doesn't have a great hairline, that's always most impressive.
Okay. That makes sense.
Which I don't think...
Do you have any, like, period, like transformations?
Which one?
You know what I mean? Like, any transformations that you love?
So, like, I mean, I think that that's a good movie right there. Marie Antoinette by Sofia Coppola with Kirsten Dunst. That's, I think they did great wigs in that one.
Yep.
You know, but again, for, like, when you ask me what's a good wig, it's like as a guy who's in his not 18-year-old years that doesn't have a great hairline, it's like I always look at that and say, okay, they got a good piece on that guy today. You know? And you're great at that. You're really, I mean, like, that's something, I don't know how much you talk about that on the, like, because it's like, we're talking about the beautiful wigs you make, and they are beautiful, you know, your Broadway wigs and stuff like that. But, I mean, there are guys out there who need a piece.
Yeah, I mean, we touched upon men's wigs and you know, the man weave, you know, is now, like, a big thing. So
it's a big thing. It's becoming bigger and bigger.
Is. Like, it's a huge business now. And, you know, I know right now, as we're recording this podcast, you know, in the middle of crazy time. So I don't know when you're listening to, whoever you are out there, thank you for listening. But, like, you know, wigs are not just for women anymore. They're for everyone, you know, men and women.
Right.
Or pieces or falls or extensions, some sort of hair enhancement, I'm calling it. So yeah, especially...
How much do you know about, like, I'd say the sociology of wigs? Like, I mean, I think that back in, like, the 1700s, 1800s, it was more for men to wear.
It was. They were a little bit more dandy, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, but it goes back even more, like, even in the Egyptian era, it's because, you know, their hair's falling out, they have a disease. Even back then in, you know, the 1800s, still disease and everything came up, so they would just put a wig on for to show class.
And what about, we just touched about the 1800s and so on and so forth, but there's also, like, judges who wear wigs. How did that get started?
I mean, if it's just scripted.
Yeah, I don't know that either, but I mean, I kind of do want to know now. So,
and there's all different types too.
Something to Google for a rainy day.
Depending on depending on where you were too, like, on if you're in, like, London or if you're in the US, the wigs were shaped differently. I knew.
And then what's interesting too is, like, you know, I always think about that stuff, and then it's like, and where did it stop? Like, why did it stop? You know?
Yeah. I mean, I think people just got healthier, to be honest. Yeah. I think we just got healthier and as a, you know, and we didn't need to be covering up our hair as much. Our hair was actually, we were taking care of it. Shampoos were being introduced into the world. You know, so I feel that's why we stopped wearing them as, like, hugely, but now, you know, now they're back. A ton of people are going to their stylist and they're like, I want to have white hair like whoever. There's so many people who do that white hair, and I'm like, it's a wig. And they're like, no, it's not. Yes, it is. It's a wig.
I mean, there's so many actors that people don't even know are wearing wigs on a regular basis on shows. I mean, like, Juliana Margulies wore one on The Good Wife, and it's like, and she has great hair, but I guess she didn't want to sit there doing her hair every day, so they just popped the wig on her head.
You got it. Right. And it was very expensive.
$50,000, I believe.
I
can't. don't come for me for it, but I believe that it was 50,000. That's true.
So yeah. So, on my last show, the producer worked with her on a couple shows, and it's in their contract. Okay. So, yeah.
It's quite great. Yeah. No,
trying to get that. Cole Haney, get my wig.
Yeah, he was. So the producer was on the last episode of The Good Wife.
No. They did a how can I want to put it, but not put it. He worked with her before, and in negotiations and whatnot. He's a big producer, and so like he went up for bat for me a lot with production. Okay. You know, because they're like, we have the guy in-house building the wigs. Why are we even questioning how much he's asking for?
So that's NBC.
Yeah, at the time, yeah. So we'll see. We'll see.
So how's that going with Bone Collector right now?
I mean, it's aired. It's aired. It's really great nationally right now. It's just had...
Is it renewed for second season?
We're waiting.
Okay.
We're waiting. It's that time. I mean... I know ABC has their lineup already. I know, is it CW or anymore? Whatever they call it now. They have CW. Theirs out. So I think NBC is waiting. From rumor mills, I know the set is still up, but that could mean nothing.
That's good. That's a good sign. At the same time, it's like right now, who knows how long this is going to go for. We are in quarantine, just throwing that out there.
Yeah, we are in quarantine.
I guess they're under a rock and don't know.
Yeah, we had a big meeting just to, like, go over things, you know, union wise and there's so much rumor out there too. So it was a lot of rumors out there, too many crickets, and how things will happen and how things will roll out, what you know, the reinventing of Hollywood, you know. Is everyone gonna have a personal? Is, you know, I heard there's some rumors where I, as a hairdresser, would then be. Hey guys, I'm not sure if you have heard of Spornet brushes. They are a brush that actually has been around for a very long time. So maybe some of my old time listeners or hairstylists out there that are listening, you have heard of them. Two things. A, I didn't know it was in my kit already. I just love that it was a bright blue color because I'm always trying to set my kit apart from the rest. You know, those BG people have those little klepto hands. So I bought my Spornet brushes. I use the Prego collection actually because they're blue and they're super light and they get to smooth the hair as beautifully as anything before. So, I mean, I've literally used them on all of my clients from Vanessa Williams to Heidi Klum to Jessica Chastain to Ariel Kibble. You know, I literally have used them on every single client without truthfully really knowing that about it. So I would check them out. They're doing this great rebrand. They have so many different brushes now, and they're really trying to get people who used to use them again. And I can't even believe that it was in my kit already. So I'm definitely getting more brushes. I'm probably going to be doing some posts on them on Instagram and social media, just so you can see what's in my kit, because I do a whole section on that. So I will literally show you. I think they're already in one of my videos. But these are absolutely amazing. They are ceramic. They have all different types. They have boar's hair. They have synthetic hair. They have everything you need. So I would definitely check them out. So support.com. SPORNETTE. All right. So they have some great brushes, and also it's tangle free, and literally they're coming out with some brand new ones. They have one that is like great for just extensions. They have some for teasing combs. They have teasing brushes, and also they have men's combs. So those short bristle brushes that you need from soft, medium, and hard, they have all different types. It is literally a one-stop shop for all your brush needs. I would definitely check them out. I'm super excited to be working with them and having some amazing brushes. But guys,
I've literally been using them. Like every photo you've ever seen or video or TV show, I literally have been using them. Like they're already in my collection. And they come in different sizes. So like I have the 4-inch, I have the 3.5, the 3, the 2.5, the 2, and the 1. I literally have 2 sets, one for the set and one for the stage. So it's quite hysterical that they have reached out to me to do this. So this is great. I hope you check them out. SPORNETTE.com. I can't wait, guys. You're really going to love it.
Be a background person because they don't want new people on set. I'm like, oh, so I'm going to get my acting card?
Right.
I'm like, but her hair's wrong. I need to see her hair. I don't want to be on camera. So we'll see what it does.
So that's the new idea, is that everyone's gonna have their own personal hairdresser. That sounds very expensive.
I don't know. I know they want to do a ton of different, like there's so many different things. Like we would do, you know, 300 people in one tent. You know what I mean? And that's kind of like how social distancing 6 feet away and we're on an 8-foot table. Okay, cool. But if you have 300 BG people, you need, you know, at least one person for what, 10 people, if it's a period.
Right.
So then for 300 people, we're going to need like 20 hairdressers.
I mean, so here's what I would say to that. And it's like, and I really don't want to get into the whole quarantine thing. But what I would say is this, is that whether or not you're social, I hate those words, but whether or not you're social distancing and you're wearing masks and you're all 6 feet away, if you go and touch the table and then someone else goes and touches the table, you get it. And that's it. So it's like, to some degree, it's like people need to stop the insanity, you know? And it's like, and I'm very, again, I'm taking the disease so seriously. I think it is 100% real. But at the same time, I think that people somehow think that this is avoidable because of the fact that they're standing 6 feet away. And it's like, okay, you touch that doorknob, someone else touches the doorknob, you get it. The end. Mm-hmm. That's it. So.
Yeah. I mean, I know I was deathly sick at the end of Lincoln filming, like deathly, like.
January?
Yeah.
Me too. I had it.
I was pretty bad, but.
Me too.
Who knows right now? I mean, I'm finally feeling good.
Nothing. I was deathly ill too for about 3 weeks.
Yeah. So
couldn't talk.
Who knows?
Because I believe you called me that night, actually. You called me and I was like, I couldn't even come to the phone. I was dead. Like, I was just done. Yeah. End of January, I mean, death. And COVID's pretty serious.
I mean, we're in a time where, I mean, as a hair and makeup person, like in the industry, like our job is sanitary, like our job is to know it, you know? So I don't want to say I'm not worried, but like we are like the front line on a theater, on a gig, you know, on a movie.
Okay, so let's play a little game for the listeners. Okay.
There we go.
So I'm going to ask you some questions. I'm going to like rapid fire.
Asking okay. me? Oh, God.
Can I? Am I allowed?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so we're gonna play a game, and I'm gonna say.
You know the table's turned here right now, everyone, right? Okay, I just want to.
I'm gonna say a category, and you tell me first person that pops into your head who fits.
I know no one. All right, we're gonna play.
Okay,
you know
best hair in the movies.
Best hair in the movies.
Yeah, actress or actor. Best hair in the movies.
Sofia Vergara.
Best hair, but worst hair outside of the movies.
Oh,
like someone who has really good hair in the movies, and then like when you see him in person, it's like, what happened there? Sofia Vergara does have great hair, though. Just throwing that out. Who's it matches on the red carpet and in the movies.
Who I know that has like, I don't. I mean,
so I'll throw a name out there.
Okay, you threw the name.
I think that Meryl Streep has very good hair in the movies. Mm-hmm. And then if you see her on the red carpet, not so much. And if her hairdresser's listening, sorry. But, you know, I mean, it could just be the person, too, that they don't care that much to put the effort in. But, like, mm-hmm. in the movies, I mean, that was a great wig. Devil Wears Prada.
Mm-hmm. Very much.
Great
very
wig.
Much. Mm-hmm.
Really mm-hmm. great wig that she had going on there. So, actually, that you want to talk a bad hair person, Emily Blunt in that movie, not the best hair going on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, love her, though. Great performance, right. Not the best hair.
Okay.
Another question. Let's see.
me though.
Moment where you most knew, like, that's a wig going on.
There's you so are. Many. I mean, I'm the worst. That's why I have to write off every movie, and like I almost write off all of my Netflix, because I just I also know, like, I know what I'm looking for. I don't want to pin out too many people. You know, all my constituents. I want them to hire me.
Of course, of course. Well, you know, sometimes though, like it's a really obvious one.
A lot of the period pieces. A lot of the period pieces tend to, because there are so many, I don't think we as hair people get enough time.
What do you think of the Hocus Pocus wigs?
I mean, but they're wiggy. They're supposed to be like they're characters.
Yeah. Okay. So just wondering what your thoughts were on it.
I think they're wiggy for now, to be honest.
They're iconic. Not, yeah.
You know, like even Elvis's hair, it's iconic, even if it's a bad wig, you know?
What about Uma Thurman in Batman and Robin? You don't know it.
Even with the show that I'm doing, you know, my top five favorite, like I have to work at it. People think, oh, you just pick. No. I have to.
You have to do your research.
Yeah, this is all research. Like, you don't, like, we've been trying to get on this Zoom call for a while so we can record this. But, like, just getting ready for our interview, I was trying to, like, Google search you from 1812 to get some, like, dirt or something to be like, oh, shock him. Let's bring something up from the past.
1812.
You know? We're all old.
So did you find any dirt on me? What were we bringing up?
No, really? Nothing. I got nothing.
I mean, there is dirt on me, for sure.
All I got was, the questions I asked you. You know, I was trying to be that one that, like, oh, you said something sometime, and then we can, like, respark. But, I mean, mine are all very generic. But how is your relationship with hair and makeup people normally? What's your...
I'd say I have very good I think that, first of all, I think this is something that I'm going to say that might get me in trouble with photographers. I'm probably not, though. But I believe that hair and makeup people are more important than the photographer. Because just what I do and the schedule that I work on, mm-hmm. I want someone who's going to move the shoot along. Mm-hmm. And I think you could always go in and touch up the photo when it's all said and done. So if someone's not the best photographer, but if they are a slow hair and makeup artist or a bad hair and makeup artist, that could ruin the whole shoot. Mm-hmm. So most of the people that I work with, one, I hire really, really good people because I know what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. And I like the people that I like. And two, I really respect the hair and makeup person. And I feel like they don't get that kind of respect from other people. They're usually looked at as the least important person on set, and I don't feel that way.
Yeah. No, I mean, you've been very, very generous when we worked together. So, like,
well, I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that when you come into a set, obviously talent is treated as most important, and I believe photographers treated as second most important.
Right.
And then it seems like, you know, stylist is treated as third, and hair and makeup seems to be the lagging, you know. It's like, I'd say in importance, people treat you guys as last. And I mean, I think that stylist is number one and hair and makeup is number two. So.
Yeah, no, we are also talking about photography. We're talking about, like, full on photo shoots.
Yeah. You know? Okay. So
right. I just want to make sure my audience knows, because most people are think of me as TV, film, Broadway, right. You know. So this is actually like full on, like, photo shoot for an editorial shoot.
Right.
So, and
it's a little different with film, because I mean, people are, like, the cameraman becomes a lot less replaceable in that regard.
Right.
You know, but I mean, for me, it's like, I feel like I go through more photographers than I go through hair and makeup people, because if I trust you and you do a good job, I want you to keep coming back. I value hair and makeup tremendously. I think even the talent is more replaceable, to be honest.
We're not going to talk about talent with you.
Well, I mean, I love talent. Like, a lot of the times I don't have any problem with talent. I just think that, like, the thing is how many actors are there out there that you can get another actor for a photo shoot really quickly, whereas you can't get a really good hair and makeup person that's going to stay there the entire day and go person to person to person with you.
True.
That can do also, I mean, like, for example, you can do all different types of hair, which is important too.
Right. No. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, knowing your craft though, but that's just a passion I have. You know, some people are just, And even in the hair world, you know, people are cutters, people are colorists, people are, you know,
do it all.
Like they departmentalize everything because I'm assuming that they feel you're only good at one thing.
Right.
You know, and that's where I guess I'm just the commodity. But that's also
sometimes the talent asks for a hair person and a makeup person, mm-hmm. but I want someone who does it all, like you do. Like yeah. my girl in LA, Madison Blue, she's amazing and she does it all. So that's what I want. I want someone who's gonna, like, I like a small set. I don't like yeah. a lot of people milling around. So, mm. although I did like your assistant when you brought him, Andrew Carter.
Mm.
Is that his name? No, we're not talking about him. All right, I don't know. I liked him.
I'll cut that out.
Okay.
I know you would like him. yeah.
He's nice to me.
Yeah, I think we got everything. For my notes, I mean, I went through all my questions.
Okay.
Do you have anything else you want to add?
Not about myself. I always want to hear more about you and more about what goes on in your world, what you're doing during quarantine to keep in business.
To keep in business. I mean, for once, I was ready to go back to work when they shut everything down. Like, because we stopped filming January 20-something or 17th, and then the 27th is when I got, like, totally wrapped out. And so, like, I've already was off for, like, a month and a half. So, like, I was, like, ready. Like, I had my shows lined up. I had, like, three shows, and they're all, like, not this year. So.
What show were you going to go to after that?
They were doing a remake of, not Seventh Heaven, what was it called? Dang it.
Everwood. I don't know.
Hold on. 13 something?
13?
Something, 13 something? 30-something?
30-something. 30-something. 30-something.
30-something and more. Yeah, so it was going to be like the full original cast coming back to play the parents, and then they had kids, and it would be theirs.
Okay, so when was that supposed to start filming?
Oh, it was about 2 months ago.
And your key hair on that?
I was going to be department head.
But that's great. So I know, I believe her name's Mel Harris from that show.
Mm-hmm.
She's very sweet.
Well, it's not happening anymore, so it doesn't matter.
If the show's not happening, it's totally scrapped.
Yeah.
Really?
It was a pilot. Yeah. Pilot season got fucked this year.
Wow. So they're not... I mean, they'll probably bring that back, though, because it was a
I mean, they signed up everyone... All the original cast signed on.
So. Yeah, so it's not happening right now, but, like, in 6 months, maybe.
It's for ABC, though, and it's not in their lineup.
It's not what?
It's not in their lineup.
Wow. Yeah, just but like I mean, again,
there was supposed to be a show that, it was going to be a sci-fi show that was supposed to go into our studio, and they mm-hmm. got canned too. So that's the only reason why our set is still up. Otherwise,
yeah.
So
well, I mean, again, like who knows when filming is going to resume and stuff like that. So, and what do you do?
No.
What do you do in the interim?
Making content. Making a ton of content. I redid my whole entire wig making class so that it's a little bit more in depth.
And are you selling these wigs in the interim? Are you making?
I mean, no. I have a couple clients that have, you know, going through chemo and stuff like that. That I'll do those, but it's not really a money maker, to be honest. So,
and what was great was when Brad Pitt like hosted Saturday Night Live in quarantine, mm. and he's like playing Dr. Fauci, and he's got the Dr. Fauci wig, and it's just like right because Brad Pitt, I'm sure, had a perfect Dr. Fauci wig just laying around the house that he didn't have someone bring that in. It's like, come on, give me a break.
Yeah, no, I think they have.
So that should probably be a show that needs a lot of wigs is Saturday Night Live, and that's in New York.
They do. They use a lot. I heard a lot of things about working there. I want to say it was a dream of mine, But
you got over that thing.
Yeah, I think so. I think I have. I mean, of course I would do it. Like, don't, like, let's not, you know, anyone who's listening, don't.
It's an intense job, though, over there.
Yeah, it's very intense. And I just feel, with my background of theater, that it's a great fit.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that you do a phenomenal job and you know how to hustle, so they could use you for sure, you know?
Yeah, I know a lot of people who've been through the doors. I did, I don't even know why it's not out. It's called Vampires versus the Bronx. And the makeup department from there came on and we got to work really closely together. Louis.
Who's in that movie?
Who was in it? Who's the one from the Wu-Tang Clan?
I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Not Ice-T. Oh my gosh. This is so bad. I just went over this the other day with someone. Sarah something or other. She has like blonde hair. I forgot what she was known for. She's in it. And it was like, it's about these like three friends in the Bronx and they defeat these.
Sarah Gadon is her name, I think.
Is that her name?
G-A-D-O-N. I don't know. I'm making it up. I don't know.
Hold on. Pause, please. I can look.
Okay.
Because we were just texting.
You and Sarah?
Yeah. Oh, no. What is going... Why can't I... Pause. Anyway.
So who else has been on this show, on the podcast?
Well, we have Vanessa Williams coming up. We have Diana Young. And who else? We have Ted Gibson.
Mark Ted Gibson Quinn. Is he from... He's Dharma and Greg?
Who?
Ted Gibson is Dharma and Greg?
No, he's a hair person.
Okay, oh my bad.
Yep. I mean, Willem, I don't know if you would know. Trying to get Lana Condor to come on.
Okay. What are you working with her on?
We did this. We did this. Well, I took over for someone. It was a tear movie. Oh, dang it. It was.
I believe I was one of the first people who's ever interviewed Lana about 6 years ago now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was her first.
She was still very young when I worked with her. But we were doing overnights. So, like, everyone was like slap happy in this penthouse in New York. So, like, it was a lot. And
she was very sweet when I interviewed her. And it was, a long time ago at this point. I believe I was, if not her first interview, one of her first interviews. So, yeah. So that's kind of special.
But that's where we're at right now. So, and then I'm like Ariel and Brooke from Lincoln probably will come on.
So I've interviewed Ariel as well, Ariel Cabell.
Yeah, we were just texting because she was doing all this press for the show out wherever it's launching now. Supposedly it's internationally very, very well taken.
The Bone Collector.
The Bone Collector.
Is that what I don't know? Yeah.
Yeah. Lincoln. Did you watch it? No.
I did not. I'm sorry. No, but that's actually rare for me. Usually I try and watch at least an episode of everything. But when was it was on in around January?
Yes. It was January 9th, I think, was our air date.
So, like, I mean, I was sick in January, and then it's been this. So,
yeah.
You know.
Well, it's on not,
but, yeah, so, I mean, I probably will check it out. I try and check out at least, you know, one episode of everything. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The pilot. Yeah, I mean. But I think you're going to compare it too much to the movie with Angelina.
I've never seen the movie, so.
Oh, good. Oh, okay, great. That's better.
Yeah.
It's definitely
is she the Angelina role? Ariel? Is Ariel? Yeah. She's the Angelina role. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good casting. I mean, like, if someone cast me as Angelina, I'd be like, all right, well, now I can die happy.
Yeah, no. And it was great. It was a fun time. We had fun.
What's the difference in the movie? What would you say is the main difference going on
there? I mean, it's more towards the books. It's a series of 12 books, actually.
Okay.
What it's based off of. So they finally got, I guess, the rights to all of his books, whatever his name is, who wrote it. They left it off with a cliffhanger to like go on to something else.
Did you watch every episode?
Of course.
Okay.
I did. I have a lot of notes for myself. Tough critic over here.
And are you doing wigs on that show really, or are you doing more just
a lot of
like,
stunts? I a lot of stunt doubles.
Okay. All right. So there you go.
Yeah, a lot. And also I'm trying to pick one to see if we can get an award or two, maybe.
So you pick one, like one person who you can really do something.
No, we pick an episode. We pick an episode.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. I did that actually. What's funny, you know, for me to be on here, in the mid 2000s, I worked for the Emmys and I was the person who, like, I guess led the panel. So like you would come in, like, let's say if you're an Emmy voter or something like that, and we would put in all the tapes and everybody would sit there and watch the tapes of, and I don't know if they even still do that, but like in the mid 2000s, that's what they did.
They used to do CDs, I heard. And then now everything I heard is online, where you have your special login.
Right. So back then it's like, they would come in and I would be the person who'd be like, you know, leading the panel and showing them the tapes and stuff like that. And, I was doing best hair for the soap operas. And I remember at one point, like, I'm in the room with them all and this woman like does the Kimberly from Melrose. She rips off the wig kind of thing and she's got the scar on the side of her head. And everyone was just like, and you just knew that one right then and there. Like, that was the winner. And it was like, okay, what are we doing? We know that that's the winner. Let's just call it a day.
Now I know we have to get them. I start campaigning now.
So that's what you should try and do, is you should try and do one of those kind of moments where it's like a shock. Like, the Emmys seem to love that, you know.
I don't write them.
I would be interested to know who did the original Melrose Place where Marsha Cross pulled off that wig. I don't know who did it, but they probably got nominated for an Emmy if they didn't win it.
I wonder what we'd put that under. What top favorite hairstyles of Melrose?
Well, it scared the shit out of me. I can't say that, right?
I'll beep it.
It scared the stuff out of me when I was a kid. I was so terrified of that.
Really?
And you know who else? Did you do her? No, I don't think you did. But Christine Taylor, when she was in The Craft and her hair was falling out in the shower. Mm-mm. That was some wig. And I love her.
Oh, see, now it comes out. See, guys, now it comes out. He has to just loosen up a little bit.
What comes out?
You with now you're finding all the good hairs. Now thinking about it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm a movie watcher and a TV watcher, so I definitely know.
Just not lately, and not for my show. Thanks.
No, but I'm telling you, I probably will watch it. So, yeah. I'm
happy we can talk about it. Okay. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. I'm sure we'll have him back on to do another, find out where he is now. I think we're going to be doing that. So thanks so much for being on. Until next time, chat later.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Wig Hackers. Have an idea or a question you'd like me to answer? Feel free to reach out on any of my social media platforms at Daniel Coy Official on Instagram or on Facebook. I'd love to hear from you and hope to inspire you. Don't forget to share and rate me and do your hair, because if you're looking good, you're feeling better.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.